Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow and to obey the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about the fruits of the Spirit. Today's fruit is joy. Some of the most joyful people that I've ever known in my life are the ones who've had the most trouble. I think of Mrs. Kershaw, an old lady who came to help my mother for a number of years. She lived in the same town, and she was a widow. She lived in a big old rackety-packety house. It was practically empty of furniture. I don't remember that she had any rugs. It was cold and bleak and dark. And we would go and pick up Mrs. Kershaw in that house. She was stone deaf, which meant that on the front door there was a little sign that said, "I am home. Please come in." She couldn't hear a knock on the door. She couldn't hear the doorbell. She didn't have a telephone. And, of course, anybody could have walked in and done anything they wanted. But we would walk in, and there she would be with the most radiant smile on her face, dear Mrs. Kershaw. When we get together, we siblings, and talk about our past and our family life, almost always Mrs. Kershaw's name comes into the conversation. She was a paragon of joy. Just every day brought sunshine into our house. A widow, humpbacked, poor, living alone. She had one son who paid practically no attention to her, but joyful. And what about Corrie ten Boom? Many of you have read her books, seen the film, The Hiding Place, or heard her speak in person. I've done all of the above. What do I find in Corrie ten Boom? A woman who had been through deep suffering in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany. What did I find? Joy. Just the personification of joy. And then there's my friend Judy Squire, the mother in California, mother of three cute girls. Judy has no legs. She was born with no legs, a picture of joy. How do we explain it? The fruit of the Spirit is the answer. It's not natural. It's not dependent on circumstances. It's a far deeper, higher thing than mere happiness. It springs from love. Joy springs from love. Love for others and love for God. Those of you that have fallen in love, did you experience any greater joy in your life than this experience of falling in love? I certainly haven't. The two things are inextricably linked. Love for others and love for God, a tranquil, deep delight in Him for who He is. But of course, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, is a much longer lasting thing than that love and joy that only comes with human romance. It has to become a self-sacrificing and self-giving thing. Love always sacrifices. George MacDonald says that the deepest thing wrong in our lives is the refusal to look up humbly and gratefully to God as our Father. The one central wrong in the whole human affair, the one central misery, is this refusal to look up to God as our Father. Recognizing our Father fully will more or less clear away every difficulty in life. And I've put exclamation points and underlining beside that statement in George MacDonald's book. And I think of all the letters that I get and all the problems that people give me, and I think I could just print that sentence on a card and just fire it off to everybody that writes to me for counseling. I'll repeat it. The refusal and the inability to look up to God as our Father is the one central wrong in the whole human affair, the one central misery. Recognizing our Father fully will more or less clear away every difficulty in life. Well, you think about that one. I think he's really got a very strong point there. The Bible says, "He that loves not knows not God." To know God even a little bit is to know ourselves sinful, to know that we need repentance. We find peace, joy, and love in Him when we recognize Him for who He is. In John 15, part of Jesus' farewell messages to His disciples, He says, "Dwell in My love. If you heed My commands, you will dwell in My love, as I have heeded My Father's commands and dwell in His love. I have spoken thus to you so that My joy may be in you and your joy complete." Love and joy go together. And Jesus wants His joy to be in us, not just the happiness that the world can give, but a kind that the world can never give. The Scripture calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. Then there's Romans 5:3. "Let us even exult in our present sufferings, because we know that suffering trains us to endure, and endurance brings proof that we have stood the test, and this proof is the ground of hope." Can you exult in your sufferings? I know people who can. They're people in whom the love of God dwells, people who dwell in God, people in whom the Spirit has produced these fruits that we're talking about. Again and again, we find this link in the Scripture between suffering and joy. Paul uses the expression, "It is my happiness to suffer for you." Get that. It is my happiness to suffer for you. And then in the Epistle of James, he starts right out by saying, "When all kinds of trials and temptations come into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on, and you will find that you are men of mature character with the right sort of independence." How is it possible to welcome trials and temptations as though they were friends? One of the more familiar translations of the Bible of that passage says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations," different kinds of temptations. Have you ever tried to put that into practice? The next time something really tough comes into your life, just say, "Well, I'm going to count this joy." Here's that link again between suffering and joy that the Scripture gives us. The Bible is telling us, never mind what dangers or uncertainties or sufferings or sorrows you're suffering right now. Jesus promises us joy unspeakable. When Peter writes to exiles, people who certainly don't have very much in the way of human reasons for feeling excited about their situation, he talks to them about joy. Paul wrote the joy epistle when he was in prison, the letter to the Philippians. It is a letter filled with joy. Study it sometime. Underline or highlight the words that express joy or happiness. It's full of them. Now, it's not the same as a feeling. This joy, and how shall I define it? It's definitely not merely a feeling. It's not that elation, that sort of bubbly feeling of happiness that you get when things are going wonderfully well, or when you get a great letter in the mail telling you that you have won a prize, or that you have received entrance into the university of your choice, or that you have you've passed your doctoral exam or something like that. This joy we're talking about has the strength of conviction, a settled confidence in the character of God. I remember so vividly that when my husband, Ad, was dying with cancer, I experienced this unspeakable joy by thinking about these three simple, unchangeable statements. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That was pure joy. It had nothing to do with what was happening in our house. It was something that absolutely could not be destroyed or even diluted. It was a pure joy. And to partake of communion in my church was a pure joy, realizing that here was something far deeper, far higher than the circumstance of being married to a man who was dying of cancer. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and out of love springs joy. I wish you joy today. I pray for God's joy in your life, no matter where you are, no matter what your needs are. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.